Lovely to see you this morning and for you to join us to be a part of this service. We tried something a little bit different earlier, just a few minutes ago before our countdown, we had went live and I was welcoming you in and showing you behind the scenes of what goes on. If you missed that, you'll be able to, at the end of this live video, you'll be able to go back and watch that again. And please comment in the stream so we can see how that went for you and it may be something that we'll be able to continue with in the future, but please do comment in and give us a little bit of feedback on that as well. Just another way of trying to hopefully make you feel a part of what it is that we are doing. As we begin often, we do with a sentence of scripture. Today I'm going to begin with a sentence from Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. It says, the Apostle Paul says, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors. We're going to look at that a little bit later on in our service today. So hold on to that thought that you and I are more than just a conqueror. What does that mean as we continue in our series, Faith Under Fire, through the book of Daniel? We're in chapter 8 today. So please get your Bible ready and be ready to go whenever the reading comes up and we begin to explain that a little bit later on. But mindful that we are more than conquerors. We pray in this moment. Father God, thank you that we can gather together and that we can be present in this place. Thank you that you are with us, even though we are scattered. We gather together with one purpose, with one voice, and with a unity of spirit to worship you and to declare your promises over us today. So as we do this, may your presence be so real and so tangible that it's completely unmistakable. Amen. Thank you to Jim, to Mark, and to Anne for leading us in that today. That song, Faithful One, it encourages us to trust in the faithfulness of who God is. And so in that faithfulness, we use some words from 1 John as we hear today. That if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. So we use the words of the confession together. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done wrong in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins, restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. At the beginning today, I welcomed lots of people into your service, and I can see lots more coming in. So hello, Nora, and to Nicola, to Lindsay, to Frida, and to all those others who have joined us from the time that I stopped live saying that. Everybody is welcome here this morning. And one of the beauties of this is that as we are together, we are able to speak God's word, a living and active word. And the beauty is that as we recite this word together, we are speaking it as we are scattered not only across this parish, but as I see this morning from a few different places, not only in Northern Ireland. And so as we speak these words of this psalm, we speak them over our families, our homes, our streets, and our community. I'm going to use this by alternate verse. Psalm 22 this morning. I'll begin and then you join with verse 24. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honour him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the themes of my praise in the great assembly, before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations." There's a sense of not only faithfulness in that psalm, but a sense of God's sovereignty, that he's in control. We hold on to that truth this morning as we hear from Sarah and I.
Good morning, boys and girls. I hope you're all keeping safe and well. You might be able to see the sun coming in on me this morning. There's been some really nice sunny weather this week, hasn't there? It's great to see the sun out and the flowers starting to bloom and the leaves growing on the trees. And this reminds me that spring is here. Spring is here. Do you know what else we do whenever it's spring? Sometimes your mum and dad might do a little bit of spring cleaning. We've been doing a little bit of spring cleaning in our house this week. Do you know Jesus done some spring cleaning too? Well, you see, Jesus had travelled to Jerusalem. It was the Passover festival and he had gone to the temple. But when he got inside the temple, it didn't really look like a temple. There were loads of stalls selling stuff. And there was a stall that was selling birds and sheep that could be used as sacrifices. And there was another stall where you could go and exchange your money in order to pay your taxes. Jesus didn't like what he'd seen. He got really angry. They had turned a place of worship into a cattle market, something like shops or a mall where people could go to buy things. He didn't like what he'd seen. So Jesus decided to do some spring cleaning. He got a rope and he shuttled all the cattle out of the temple, shouting at the people who were selling it, telling them that they had turned his father's house into a market. And he then scattered all the coins across the table and told everybody to get out of the temple. So I suppose you could say Jesus done some spring cleaning. So as we think this week about Jesus cleansing and cleaning the temple, we also have a little think about what other cleaning needs to be done. Maybe there's some cleaning in our lives that need to be done. I know there's plenty in mine. We're in a season of Lent, a time that is quite reflective, where we look upon ourselves and what needs to change in our lives to make us better at following Jesus. So here's your challenge this week. I want you to have a little think. Is there anything that you need to clean in your life? Anything that you need to stop doing in order to make you a better follower of Jesus? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are near, that you are right beside us, that you see every aspect of our lives and you don't miss a thing. Lord, we know that we don't always do things that please you. And just like Jesus cleaned the temple in our story today, we pray that you would help us to look upon ourselves and see what needs cleaning. In Jesus' name, amen.
The reading for today is Daniel chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. And it's entitled Daniel's Vision of a Ram and a Goat. In the third year that Belshazzar was king, I saw a second vision. In the vision, I suddenly found myself in the walled city of Susa in the province of Elam. I was standing by the river Ulay, and there beside the river, I saw a ram that had two long horns, one of which was longer and newer than the other. I watched the ram butting with his horns to the west, the north, and the south. No animal could stop him or escape his power. He did as he pleased, and he grew arrogant. While I was wondering what this meant, a goat came rushing out of the west, moving so fast that his feet didn't touch the ground. He had one prominent horn between his eyes. He came towards the ram, which I had seen standing beside the river, and rushed at him with all his force. I watched him attack the ram. He was so angry that he smashed into him and broke the two horns. The ram had no strength to resist. He was thrown to the ground and trampled on, and there was no one who could save him. The goat grew more and more arrogant, but at the height of his power, his horn was broken. In its place, four prominent horns came up, each pointing in a different direction. Out of one of these four horns grew a little horn whose power extended towards the south and the east and towards the promised land. It grew strong enough to attack the army of heaven, the stars themselves, and it threw some of them to the ground and trampled on them. It even defied the commander of the heavenly army, stopped the daily sacrifices offered to him, and desecrated the temple. People sinned there instead of offering the proper daily sacrifices, and true religion was thrown to the ground. The horn was successful in everything it did. Then I heard one angel ask another, "How long will these things that were seen in the vision continue? How long will an awful sin replace the daily sacrifices? How long will the army of heaven and the temple be trampled on?" I heard the other angel answer, "It will continue for 1,150 days, during which evening and morning sacrifices will not be offered. Then the temple will be restored." Here ends the reading.
Thank you to Lynn for doing the reading for us this morning. We continue in our series, Faith Under Fire, through this book of Daniel. As I said last week, normally preaching series kind of stop maybe at chapter 6, because the chapters after it can be a little bit more difficult to understand and to look at and to wrestle with. And can I say from the outset, I have really had to wrestle with this text this week. A ram and a goat and horns and a little horn and horns falling off and new horns growing and a he-goat coming against a ram. So if you have your Bible, love you to open it at Daniel chapter 8. Now remember, earlier in this series we heard that whenever they stood firm, they looked up and they walked with God, things began to happen. Whenever they stood firm, looked up and walked with God, things started to happen. He is the revealer of mysteries, and so actually he walks with us in times of trouble. Like King Neb in the early chapters ebbed and flowed in his relationship with God. Treating the things of God, it was very important how we treat the things of God. It's very important even for today. We saw the faith of Daniel whenever he was in the lion's den. Last week we heard that we live in the victory of the cross whilst we fight in the power of the Spirit. And these battles seem to continue today, because in chapter 8, Daniel has a vision. And up to this point, it's been other people's visions. Last week, Daniel had a dream. This week, he's got a vision. And it's another strange one. Now, we need to remember that animals, sometimes I find, I have to say that, I find it hard to say it the way you would say it, animals. Remember that animals, normal, whether they're normal or hybrid or mythical, were powerful symbols of kingdoms, of powers, and of goals in the world of Babylon. And so whenever animals are in these dreams, these visions, they mean something much bigger than just a goat or a ram. And so actually, this ram and this goat is no different. There's symbolism here. This is prophetic literature. This is prophetic writing. This is God speaking into a situation and giving details and knowledge of what is yet to come in a moment whenever it hasn't yet happened. The ram is powerful, but the he-goat is something else. Look at Daniel chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. First 5. "As I was thinking about this, suddenly a goat with a prominent horn between his eyes came up from the west, crossing the whole earth without touching the ground. He came towards a two-horned ram I had seen standing beside the canal. and charged at him with a great rage. I saw him attack the ram furiously, striking the ram and shattering his two horns. The ram was powerless to stand against him. The goat knocked him to the ground and trampled on him, and none could rescue the ram from his power. The goat became very great. I don't know if you've ever encountered a ram. They can be scary things in a field of sheep with these horns that sometimes would charge at you in protection of their flock, in protection of those who are their lambs or their ewes. But I don't know if you've ever met a he-goat, a billy goat. First time I ever met a billy goat, it was in a place called Castle Gore. Now, many of you will not even know where that is, but it's near enough right in the centre of the Promised Land, just outside Ballymena. It's basically a wee townland, and it's where some of my family, where my dad and so forth, grew up. But I met a billy goat there, a he-goat there for the first time. He was massive, huge. His horns were humongous. But the thing that was worst was the smell. The smell of him was completely overpowering. He was a fearsome kind of beast. And he kind of looked at you almost sideways out of the corner of his eye. And you weren't sure what he was about to do. Or he was going to charge at you or run you down. And you could, so whenever I read this, I imagine this he-goat, this billy goat that I experienced back in that day. A fearsome beast, if you like. See, the vision, this vision is the outworking of Alexander the Great. That's who is symbolized here. Alexander the Great defeated the Persians just after Daniel's time. And then the horn, as it says, dissolves into four horns. Well, you see, there was four great generals who took over power from the Persians, from Alexander the Great. And then this little horn comes up, and the history writers would say this is a guy called Antiochus the Fourth. He comes up and he destroys the generals. And so actually, this is all grounded in events that did happen in the following years. But as we said last week, we hold this prophetic literature. We take the detail of it, we work it out, but we hold to it lightly in a sense because we need to step back to see the bigger picture. Otherwise, you get bogged down in despair of the detail. This little horn grew small and little because actually at the very beginning Antiochus was so insignificant that actually he was like a little horn, not one of the great horns, but grew in power over time. But the big picture spoken in this chapter is similar to the big picture that has been spoken throughout the book of Daniel. If we believe in God, then we must believe in his sovereignty. The sovereignty of God is not an added extra. The sovereignty of God is not a really good theological concept. The sovereignty of God, the concept, the belief structure, the truth that God is in control, is something that we must hold to firmly. And whenever we hold firmly to the truth that God is sovereign, that he is in control, no matter what it looks like in the world around us, we can walk with a different step and with a different gait. If we deny his sovereignty, we deny his power and his knowledge. Whenever we deny his power and his knowledge, we begin to put God in our own framework. Whenever we begin to put God in our own framework, we can diminish him. We can set him to the side whenever we think we don't need him. We can bring him back whenever we think we might need him. And then we can become frustrated whenever we think he hasn't done what we want him to do. But if we stand in the knowledge, in the truth, in the certainty that God is sovereign, that he is in control, then we walk with a different step. We have a different kind of hope. We have a different kind of way of looking at things. Because if we interpret history in our own skill and understanding, we are filled with questions. Now, don't get me wrong, questions are really good. He didn't know I was going to say this today. I didn't really know I was going to say this today. But I went to theological college with a guy called Barry Ford. He's now the Archdeacon of Belfast. Barry is exceptional at asking questions. To the point that I used to have to ask him to be quiet on a Friday afternoon because he kept asking questions on our last lecture so I could get home to Shirley, because Barry lived in Dublin. But I want it home. Questions are good, but sometimes too many questions can fill our head with other things. There's a point where we can question, where we can challenge, where we can wrestle with the things of God. And there are other points where we can just trust that he is sovereign, that he is in control, that what he says is true and right, and we stand on that firm foundation, the unshakable foundation that his word is living and active and is true today. And so this passage of rams and of goats, of nations and kingdoms rising and falling is all true, but it speaks forward into our day as well because it's prophetic. It has other symbolisms and meaning rather than just the literal outworking of it. That's why we have to stand back and look at the big picture. Too much dwelling on the details of prophetic, we miss that big picture. But Daniel gives us an answer. Daniel's vision, reread it, reread what Lynn had read to us. But Daniel gives us an answer as we read the verses that weren't read to us today. Because the chapter's too big to read in one sense. Look at verse 15. Daniel says, "While I, Daniel, was watching the vision and trying to understand it, there before me stood one who looked like a man. And I heard a man's voice from Eulalia calling, 'Gabriel, tell this man the meaning of the vision.' And as he came near the place where I was standing, I was terrified and fell prostrate. 'Son of man,' he said to me, 'understand that the vision concerns a time of the end.'" Daniel was terrified. If Daniel focused on the details of this vision, he would have sunk in the despair of his terror. But the understanding of what this angel, this messenger from heaven was saying to him was, "Daniel, this is about the end of time. This is prophetic. This is casting it all the way forward for what is yet to come." We see this in the book of Revelation as well. And if you read on through these verses, here's the answer that Daniel got, a short synopsis for you. God wins. There you are. God wins. The saints, believers, you and I, are at war in a spiritual battle. But there is victory coming. Isn't that good? Isn't that amazing? Even in the midst of all of this despair and trial and turmoil, there's victory coming. Brilliant. Amazing. Why? How can I be so sure? Well, if you have your Bible there, we want to turn to Romans chapter 8. This is the verse that I read at the very beginning of our service today. Romans chapter 8 and verse, we'll start at verse 36 actually. Romans 8 and verse 36. "As it was written, 'For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.' No, no. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are more than conquerors. Now, why did the Apostle Paul write that you and I are more than conquerors? Why did he not just say that we are conquerors? That we are victorious, not in and through what we have done. Remember, it's because of him we are conquerors through, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That is Jesus. Why did he say more than conquerors and not just conquerors? Well, this is important as we hear this vision of Daniel. Why? Because actually, whenever you're in a battle, the person who wins the battle actually has lost an extreme amount. Think back even to some of the world wars. Britain may have come out of that war as one of the victors, but they had lost so much in the process of seeking the win. The sacrifice of men and women, the destructions of towns and cities, of an economy, the list could go on. But you see, in Christ, we are more than conquerors. We are more than just those who have won a battle. Because we receive what God has for us. We receive an eternal promise. Our battle is different, because our battle is not against flesh and blood, as we hear in Ephesians 6 and verse 12. But it's against the principalities and the darkness and the powers that are at work in this world. And we are more than conquerors because in that sphere, in this battle, Christ has already won the victory. And so we can claim that today. We must claim that today. That doesn't mean say we're not going to be in a fight. We're not going to be in a battle. But as it says in Daniel chapter 8, that casting forward to the end of days, God wins. We are more than conquerors, not because of what we have done, what you have done, or what you or I can do, but because of him. And so even in the mundaneness of life, even in the mundane areas of life where we live and we strive to get better, we strive to accumulate more wealth, or we strive to climb the ladder of our career, or we strive to do the best for our family, in those moments of the mundaneness of life, there are, can be times that whenever we get to the point where we think we want to get to, we can look back and think, was it worth it? Was the sacrifices that I made worth it to get to where I am today? And it's in those moments that we must remember, in our daily battles, that we are more than conquerors. There is a different hope, a different gate, a different step for us. And how do we fight it? How do we fight the battles? This is how we fight our battles. The Word of God, living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, the only offensive weapon in the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. It's in here that we find the promises that we can stand on. It's in here that we find the details of the sovereignty and the control of who God is and what he has done for us. And it's in here that we see the final chapter of what is yet to come. And so we are privileged to know that we are not defeated. That God is not defeated. And if we think back to Daniel chapter 7, remember last week we heard that the evil forces will take over the world? There's a sense where we could almost say that that's exactly where we are today. the same is spoken of in this chapter. Look at Daniel chapter 8 and verse 24. He will become very strong, but not by his own power. He will cause astounding devastation and will succeed in whatever he does. He will destroy the mighty men and the holy people. He will cause deceit to prosper, and he will consider himself superior when they feel secure. He will destroy many and take his stand against the Prince of Peace. He will cause deceit to prosper, and his own power will rise. At the end of that verse 25, yet he will be destroyed, but not by human power. And here is one of the most comforting things that we can hear today. We don't need to be the one who causes the victory. God has already claimed it. We need to step into it. It's not to say that we won't be in a battle, we will. But you know what? We know the final story. And it's not about us. It's not about me. It's about him. So Daniel saw this really strange vision of rams and goats, of a prophetic of the end times, of nations and kingdoms falling and rising. What did he do? What did he do whenever this vision had ended? I think this is also really important for us today. Because in the midst of all of the despair around us, what are we to do? Look at verse 27 of chapter 8. I, Daniel, was exhausted and lay ill for several days. He was exhausted and lay ill for several days. It got on top of him. Then I got up and went about the king's business. I was appalled by the vision. It was beyond understanding. Daniel recognized that what was going on around him was beyond his understanding. And so he got up and he continued and carried on his business with what he had been given to be faithful to. And that is so important. We need to be faithful to what the Lord has given to us and for us to do. Faithful in the mundaneness and the details of the everyday of life. And he will in turn carry the victory that he promises in his sovereignty. Let's go and do that this week. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are present with us. Thank you that you are sovereign and in control, and that in you the victory lies yet to be seen but as already won. And the paradox in that, the now and the not yet, Lord, help us not to be overwhelmed with that paradox, but yet to trust in it, to trust in your faithfulness. And so into our battles, into the situations where we feel that we don't understand or that we are out of our depth and we can't control, we take a moment to pray your presence and to seek your victory. Not our own way, but to seek that your will would come. A few very quick announcements as we begin to draw to a close today. All our existing ministries continue to be online. So DVK and our kids program and DVY, our youth program, is online. DVK is back on again this Friday night. If you need any information about either of those two, please do get in contact with us and we will be able to give you the links that is appropriate for you. Our life groups continue on Wednesday nights, and if you want to be a part of that, please do let us know. They continue and take a little bit deeper what we do on a Sunday. at the moment. Our revision of register, Easter Vestry Register, is Register of Vestry Persons is currently open for revision. If you are unsure whether your name is on that or not, please get in contact with me. If you need to get your name added to it, you can download the form in the resources section of our website and fill that in and return it to me or to one of the wardens before Monday the 8th at 7:30 p.m. when a review meeting will take place and where names will be added and taken from it as appropriate to the Constitution. What does it do? Why would you fill it in? It helps you to be a full member of the congregation, to have the right to vote at our AGM and also to stand for office. Just because you fill in the form doesn't mean that you're going to do or stand for office, but it means that you can. So please do consider that and fill that in. As I said earlier, we tried something a wee bit different at the start, where we invited you to look at the behind the scenes and to see what goes on just before we go live here in the church each Sunday. Please do continue to comment into the stream to let us know how that went, to see whether that's something that we can continue with from time to time. The other thing that we're going to try slightly different this week is, and in about 10 minutes' time, we're going to open a Zoom room. And the link for that is going to come up in the feed, the live feed for this live on Facebook here. It's also on our website. You'll be got it emailed to you if you are on our email list during the week. Simply click the link and you will find a whole lot of people there to have tea and coffee with. So whenever I finish the service, go and put the kettle on, get yourself a biscuit or a bun and a cup of tea, come back to your computer or to your tablet or your phone, click that link and come and join us as we share together in tea and coffee after this service and see how it goes from there. The calling for this second Sunday in Lent. Almighty God, you show to those who are in error of the light of your truth that they may return to your way of righteousness. Grant to all those who are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's religion that they may reject those things that are contrary to their profession and follow all such things as are agreeable to the same. To the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We finish today with some words that we began our service with in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, height nor... Do that bit again. Neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Stay safe and stay connected. And we'll see you in a few moments. Thank you.